would like to invite our five storytellers to come forward and share their testimonies with us. As printed in the bulletin, they will present in the following order: Nancy Lee, Art Borden, Michaela Mast, Ed Bontrager, and Gloria Diener.
The key person in my story is a kindly retired Chinese Christian man, Elder Zhang, in Shenyang, China, where I taught. He had survived the terrors of the Cultural Revolution when, from 1967 to 1976, so much of China's cultural heritage was destroyed, along with anything Western or religious. Churches and temples disappeared into secular uses, and thousands of people died. Once Elder Zhang confided that he had protected his Bible by hiding it in plain sight, along with his other Chinese books, a dangerous and very brave act. Now he was serving the church as a teacher. On this Sunday morning, the large gray brick church was packed with perhaps 2,000 believers and seekers. They had come an hour early to sing familiar hymns and learn new ones. They would listen attentively to a 50-minute sermon and respond with an amen to each sentence of a prayer. Today they would stay longer for communion. Seated in the back with a colleague, Elizabeth Lepman — Bob was then in Japan — I wondered what these saints had endured to be here. After the sermon, when the communion service was about to begin, Elizabeth and I saw Elder Zhang, who knew some English but who as yet did not know us well, in view of the whole congregation, walk from the front of the church to the back where we were sitting. He had one question for each of us: were you baptized? Hearing yes from each of us, he replied with a smile that we could take communion. As I received the communion elements, I, a foreigner, felt grateful to be acknowledged openly here as a Christian and also a member of the suffering family of Christ.
For years, I've been concerned that communion is something that separates Christians. Gathering around the Lord's table should be a place where we can get together and show our unity. Unfortunately, this often is not the case. In 1957, I went to Venezuela to pastor the Puerto La Cruz Union Church. Our congregation was made up of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Pentecostals, Holiness, and one Roman Catholic. We served communion in a manner similar to Parkview Mennonite Church, indicating that the elements represented the body and blood of Christ. If the Lutherans and the one Roman Catholic wanted to add to the meaning of the communion according to their beliefs, that was fine. I do not feel comfortable participating in the Eucharist in the Roman Catholic Church or the communion in the Lutheran Church, since I would be placing a lesser significance upon the elements. With that in mind, one of the most meaningful communion services in my life is one in which I did not participate. Several years ago, Alice and I attended the Sunday Mass at the Basilica of San Luis in New Orleans. The woman inviting the congregation to participate in the Mass made it clear that all Christians were welcome. While we did not feel free to participate, Alice and I both received a real blessing from being included in this Christian community.
I was traveling with my friends Ryan and Sarah. This was day 3 of our trek across the rocky coastline of southern Turkey. We carried all we needed in our school backpacks, wore sandals on our feet, and pushed onward from village to village with 14 more miles to walk. We were only a couple miles in when we encountered an old man on the goat path. He carried a stick, hobbling along in patched gray pants, shabby shoes, and plastic bags for socks. "Chai?" he asked with a grin when he saw us. Both my friends looked at me, so feeling only slightly assured, I said, "Yes, tea." We followed the hobbling man to his home, which was really only a wooden frame topped with a couple tarps and lined with a carpet. Inside were his wife, a small wood stove, a camping stove, and a TV sitting in the corner. We sat. Collectively, Sarah, Ryan, and I knew about 2/3 of a second language, if you piece together our Romanian, French, Spanish, Arabic, and Hebrew. None of those languages are Turkish. So we talked to each other in English and listened to their conversation in Turkish as they served us. We didn't take communion in the traditional sense, but for those few minutes, our lives intersected, hesitantly crossing multitudes of boundaries, our spirits curiously linked over that homemade pita bread, smothered in honey, and a cup of hot tea with sugar. I left with a curious heart, a full stomach, the man's walking stick, which he handed me as we walked away. Pita and tea, like bread and wine, broken and shared together, the body and blood of Christ, love incarnate, God with us, seen in a meal shared between an old goat herd, his wife, and 3 travelers.
When one takes part in communion in the Bible lands, it's truly a very meaningful and unforgettable experience. 2 such times for me are these. Both of these interdenominational and cross-cultural. In the first, I was in a group of church leaders from many countries. The study program led by a Catholic priest. As we celebrated a mass at the Trappist Monastery in the area where Jesus had joined the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus, we gathered around the altar. The priest asked me, a Mennonite, to serve all by reading a scripture and joining in communion. Different from art, it was very meaningful for me to be fully integrated as a participant and not only as an observer in this service. The table of the Lord does bring people together. On another occasion, our tour group, a couple of you are here, joined with an African-American group from Detroit. As we traveled together for those 9 days in Israel-Palestine, we began to really develop a Christian bond between us. And then we came to the Garden Tomb. As is the custom in Bible lands, trips, we would find a lovely spot, sometimes even within sight of the traditional tomb itself, to have communion. We joined our voices in song. A trio from the Baptist group sang a song audibly, but also used sign language. A member of our group read Matthew 28, a portion of that, and their pastor, Dr. Smith, in his spirited and animated style, held us in rapt attention and even prompted another group that was in a path near where we were meeting. They paused to listen. Then, sharing the bread and wine together with these dear new friends, along with our Christian Palestinian guide, we really experienced a very enriching time together.
When I was a little girl, Mennonite in Michigan, communion came in 3 movements, bread, cup, and foot washing, which seemed most important, coming last adults revealing their seldom-seen feet, impeccably clean, placing them splashless into a tub of water before they were received by a white towel. Communion carries memory, and so I share another. I'm 19. I'm a volunteer visiting nurses in rural Nicaragua. My long blonde hair is foreign here where I stand in the middle of a village, but right now I'm conspicuous for another reason. I'm literally stuck in the mud. The locals and the nurses navigate the slimy streets with ease during rainy season, but I don't know where the ground will hold, and when it lets me down, I sink knee deep. I pluck my left foot from the muck, but my right leg and both borrowed boots remain stuck. I'm losing my balance. The nurses offer help, but it's the Nicaraguan woman who enters my dilemma, who visits me and my memory on World Communion Sundays, even now, years later. She doesn't laugh at me. She doesn't create drama. She doesn't seem to feel either superior or inferior to me. She just merely frees my feet and my boots from the mud and guides me on solid ground to her outdoor tap where she washes my muddy feet with her clean hands, the Word made flesh.